You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Gareth Topham, Kevin O'Malley and Paddy Aspel in the studio. We've got racing on the flat from Nottingham, Bath and Brighton on Tuesday afternoon. All weather action on the domestic front in the evening from Lingfield and Wolverhampton, and day one of the Punchestown Festival over in Ireland. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ollie Pimlott. How are you all?
Not too bad, Mark. A bit sniffly.
Yeah.
Carrying a few niggles at the minute.
Oh dear.
A bit like Don Cossack.
Yeah, he's got a big niggle.
Big niggle. I'm feeling a little bit that way out.
Right, okay. Well, we've got some good stuff to look forward to on Tuesday. Start of the Punchestown Festival. That'll perk you up a bit, surely.
Yeah, it should perk me up somewhat. Obviously, great weekend, didn't we, with the old Whitbread meeting.
Yeah.
Fitting finale. Paul Nicholls. I think it wouldn't be great if we had an Irish trainer winning the British title, so.
No.
And you have to off your cat to put a hat even to Paul Nicholls, because he's had no superstar this year, has he? I think he's only had 2 wins in Grade 1s all season.
Yep.
The fact William Mullins only had 27 runners and still managed to finish a very narrow second, I think, says it all, I think, for persistence, because the Nicholls horses were bang out of form for the majority of the season. It's only the last 6 or 7 weeks that they've got the better ground and they've banged in the winners. It obviously had a good Cheltenham in the end, had a quiet start to it, but fair play to Paul Nicholls, and I think it's good for British racing that he did win the title. And a little bit of a different spin on it, because usually by the end of the season it's all cut and dried, as it was with the jockey title. Obviously another good story with Dickie Johnson getting a deserved first title, but it was a good finale, I think, on Saturday.
It was. I really enjoyed it, and like you say, I think it is good that a British trainer wins the British title and doesn't let Willie Mullins dominate quite everything, because he dominates everything else. And he's done it the hard way, really, hasn't he? Like you say, he's only had 2 Grade 1 winners. A lot of the prize money will be run-of-the-mill stuff through the week.
Yeah, and we saw that even during this week. He had a lot of winners this week, or last week, so I say. Paul Nicholls, and it was pretty much run the mill races. If you rule out the Scottish National, it was 3-4 grand he was picking up all week rather than the big pots.
Mm. We're going to start with a look at the Monday jury, and then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's racing. So the first question of the Monday jury is about the classics coming up this weekend. Is Air Force Blue unstoppable in this Saturday's Kipco 2000 Guineas? Well, he's 4-6 to win the race, all. Can you take him on?
No, probably not. The only thing that I can see him beating him is maybe the weather market is a little bit unsettled. We've got snow even forecast here in Leeds tomorrow and Wednesday. So the weather is a little bit unsettled, but barring it turning up very soft, I think he's going to be pretty impossible to oppose. I mean, a reproduction of any of his 3 Group 1 wins as juvenile should be good enough. Soft ground would open up the race for the likes of Stormy Antarctic, who obviously has had the benefit of a run this season, was very impressive in that. But Aidan O'Brien's made no secret of how good they think he is. I know he often says this is the best horse we've ever had, but even seeing him on the gallops on the morning line on Saturday morning, he looked in rude health, and it doesn't look the strongest of guineas. I think maybe one at a price might be Marcel. Won the Racing Post Trophy last year. Obviously, Foundation's let the form down a little bit, but elsewhere it's been franked, and he will go on the ground. So if you're looking for one a bigger price, barring Stormy Antarctic, then maybe Marcel for Peter Chappelheim has got a good record in classics. Obviously, he had Authorised win the Derby a number of years ago. So he might be one to look at a bigger price, but barring the weather turning a bit bleak and the ground turning soft, he's a 3-time Group 1 winner. Burattino might be worth throwing in there as well. Obviously, he's the only horse to beat him at Royal Ascot last year. Mark Johnson's fairly bullish as well, but having said that, you know, he looks pretty impossible to take on if the ground remains as it is at the minute.
Yeah, it's obviously quite interesting reading Joseph O'Brien's comments in the Monday jury in the Racing Post. He basically just says nobody's ever made any secret of the regard they hold him in. But he does also say it's his first run of the year and it's the first time trying a mile. Which...
Yeah, well, Aidan O'Brien's made some interesting comments saying that they might actually drop him back in trip after the Guineas rather than go up in trip. Usually you see a horse that win the Guineas, likes Australia in the past, step up and run in the Derby, but I don't think they think he's a Derby horse. Obviously, with his breeding by Warfront, there's a question mark whether he'll train on, but I think that's maybe a little bit of a people trying to get him beat. Warfront's an outstanding stallion. He produces very good two-year-olds, but he's also produced decent three-year-olds as well. But I do think he's likely to go back in trip more than up in trip after the weekend, which is quite unusual for a potential Guineas winner. But for me, Mark, the ground stays dry. He's pretty much impossible to take on.
Okay, let's look at the fillies version then. The 1,000 Guineas, what will be your choice there?
Well, Minding's another Aidan O'Brien hot pot, the favourite. He's got a stronghold on both races, obviously, with Air Force Blue and with Minding. Group 1 winning form at the track. She'd have to say she's a worthy favourite, but I really like the chances of Lumiere.
Yeah.
You look at Minding's pedigree, you say a mile's probably going to be the bare minimum for her, being by Galileo, whereas you look at Lumiere, she looks all speed. The slight question mark about Lumiere is whether she'll actually stay that mile, because she was so speedy last year, but I've never seen Mark Johnson so bullish about a horse as he's been with her. She's still a good price, I think, around about 5-1 each way. And I think if she gets home, she might just have a little bit too much speed for them. She's had two racecourse gallops. She's had a gallop, I think, at Haydock and over the Rowley Mile. She's won over the course, so she handles the undulations. The worry for me with Lumiere is, will she be a little bit too gassy in her first run of the season? But she's had those two gallops, and William Buick's commented, who of course takes a ride, that she's settled a lot more this year. She's grown up, and looking at her physique, she's going to be a better three-year-old than two-year-old. I think Lumiere is got a real good chance of beating the favourite, and I'll be very strongly with Lumiere each way in the 1,000 Guineas.
Yeah, she's 4-1 second favourite in the market at the moment. It is a quarter of the odds, 1, 2 and 3, so you're almost getting an each way stab to nothing there, aren't you? And I think it's key what you say there, that Mark Johnson's been so bullish about her. He says she's in the top three horses ever trained. And he says that he said something along the lines of only winning would be good enough for.
Well, in contrast to Aidan O'Brien, who does say makes a lot of big high things about his horse, isn't he? We see it year in, year out, this is the best I've had, etc, etc. Mark Johnson's not one to do that at all. And I think he's been so bullish about this horse's chances, it's got to be a tip in itself.
Okay, let's move on to the Epsom Classics next. What chance at Epsom do you give recent trial winners Somidar and Midterm?
I would give Midterm a better chance of winning the Derby than Somidar of winning the Oaks. The positives for Somidar is it was workmanlike. She's beaten the colts and she's won over the course. She's shown she handles Epsom, which a lot of the horses going to the Oaks will have big question marks about. But she's beaten the colts. Admittedly, I don't think it was a great trial, but she's beaten the colts. Frankie dropped his whip as well, and she idled when she hit the front, so there might be a little bit more to come. She's outstandingly bred, being by Galileo out of Dare Me, so every tick is in the right box. Only ran the twice, so there should be improvement to come. And she's trained by an absolute genius in John Gosden, so there's a lot of ticks in the right boxes. But as Pat Cooney says in the Racing Post today, she's like a golfer with the lowest round so far, but the rest of the golfers haven't played their round yet, and I think that's significant. I think the 1,000 Guineas is going to be a big pointer towards the Oaks. The likes of Minding, the likes of Ballydoyle, who looks really nice in a racecourse gallop live on Channel 4 on Saturday morning. Both of those pedigrees suggest they'll be better in time and over further. You'd argue they'll be better over the mile and a half trip at Epsom than they will be over the straight mile of the 1,000 Guineas. So I think the 1,000 Guineas will be a bigger pointer towards the Oaks than anything else, Mark. So does have a decent chance, Somidar, and what she's achieved. There's certainly more to come, but I think the 1,000 Guineas will be a bigger pointer to the Oaks. Okay. As far as the Midterm goes, couldn't be more impressive, because he still looks very green to me. That Sir Michael Stout's come out and said that he doesn't do a great deal on the gallops. It's going to be an interesting jockey selection, isn't it? Because going towards the Derby, we don't know what sort of agreement Ryan Moore has with the Ballydoyle operation, but you presume he'll be riding for Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah.
So there could be a very nice spare ride coming up on Midterm in the Derby, but he did it really well, I thought, in his trial. Jim Crowley rode the second Algometer, sets a decent benchmark, and he was really impressed by Midterm. And I think significantly, there could be a lot more to come, because he looked really green when he hit the front, he idled. Of the two, I would much prefer to be back in Midterm for the Derby than Somidar for the Oaks, but both have got big, not question marks, but both could be anything, because they've only seen the racecourse twice and both have looked green and idled when they've won on both occasions. So two huge potential for the horses. If I was having a bet now, I would much prefer to back Midterm for the Derby than So Me Dar for the Oaks.
Switching codes then, is the Punchestown Gold Cup now a foregone conclusion? Obviously the big news as we record this is that Don Cossack will miss the race, potentially might never see him again because of a tendon injury, but does that pave the way for Q Card?
You'd have to think so, Mark. Looking at the race, he's around about going to be a 1-3 favourite. But we saw with Etor, didn't we? At Aintree, anything can happen in jumps racing. You only have to fall. We saw it with Don Cossack as well in the King George. Mm. You know, you can fall. Nothing's a foregone conclusion in any race, let alone jump racing, when he's taking on some pretty viable rivals. But he's looked a completely different horse this year. They got rid of the epiglottis problem, and he probably, arguably, should be unbeaten, Mark, because he was going as well as any in the Gold Cup when Paddy Brennan got a bit of a rush of blood to the head and he came down. If he runs anything like that he's run this season, he should win very, very cosily, I think.
It's 4-7. I actually think that's quite a good price.
It's a fair enough price. But he went to Punchestown last year and was disappointing, didn't he?
But like you've mentioned, he's a different horse.
But he is
a
completely different horse. But there's that very slight question mark. He's got to travel over the Irish Sea, etc., etc. Do you want to be taking a horse? He's had a long season.
Yeah.
He's been to Cheltenham. He's been to Aintree. He's been in the King George. You know, he's danced every dance this season. He's trying to dance one more. Admittedly, you'd probably argue it's the easiest race he's contested, arguably. But he's got to cross over the Irish Sea. But if he reproduces anything, any of his performances this season, as you say, 4-7 is probably fair enough because he should win and win pretty comfortably.
Nichols, Mullins or Henderson for the 2016-2017 British Jumps Trainers title?
We've already mentioned this earlier, and Nichols has done it without having a superstar. Mm. Obviously, last season he had Dodging Bullets, who's come back from an injury and ran okay, has to be said, at the weekend, but he's only won two Grade 1s. You'd have to think his stable's going to be stronger next year. He can only get better horses than what he's had this year. Same can be said of Nicky Henderson, but Nicky Henderson doesn't have the strength in numbers as Paul Nichols, but given his experience this season, Willie Mullins, I think he'll go all out to win the title next season. Only had the 27 winners. You think of the ammunition he's got.
Yeah.
He's raided more and more these big Saturday prizes during the season. I think Willie Mullins will go all out next season to win the Trainers' Championship. He had 27 winners over here this season. I think, this may be a pot in the dark, I think he'll try and go for 50.
All right.
Because he's got such a strong battalion. He's having to take his own horses on a lot of the time in Ireland in these graded events. Admittedly, Jigginstown taking on Jigginstown, we see that so often. Yeah. They're not too bothered about it, but I think Willie Mullins will, you know, he's had a taste of it now. I think that's one thing on his CV that he's never done. He's never won the trainer's title. He's had a taste of it over this season. I think he'll go all out to win the title next year. And be interesting to see what comments come out in the press, but I wouldn't be surprised if Willie Mullins is a more ready raider of these shores, Mark, rather than just for the big races. I think he'll send a lot more horses over. I think if he does that, nothing can stop him because the ammunition he's got is just incredible.
Yeah, and given his dominance of the Cheltenham Festival in recent years as well, he's going to get a big chunk of prize money there again, isn't he, you'd imagine. What do you make of Nicky Henderson? Because he's got some of his superstars back. My Tent Yours ran okay when he came back. Obviously, Sprinter Sacra's had a phenomenal season. Simon Sigg's going to turn up at Punchestown if they can keep him in one piece. Could he pick up some of the big prizes and get competitive?
But your last sentence probably says it all, if we can keep them in one piece. Sprinter Sacra, might they retire him? Possibly. Can he be as good as he's been this season? Because it's been you'd have to say it's been a poor two-mile division, chasing division.
Yeah.
Mullins horses could go anywhere, so he's going to have a lot more competition for that.
And if Duvan ends up taking him on or something,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You'd surely fancy Duvan to beat him next season when Sprinter Sacra's a year older. So they've all these young guns to take on, the likes of Sprinter Sacra, and his older guard are either retiring like Bobsworth or getting a little bit long in the tooth or coming back from injury. So again, you'd have to think he's going to have some more decent horses next season. Obviously, his novice hurdlers going novice chasing, etc., etc., but they've just not got anything like the firepower of a Willie Mullins.
Was Willie Mullins a £1,000 fine for withdrawing Vroom Vroom Mag over the top?
I wouldn't say it was, because that's the letter of the law, isn't it?
They've just applied the law, haven't they?
They've applied the law. You know, I think if they'd waved it away, there'd have been people saying, well, why hasn't Willie Mullins got the fine? I think it's fair enough.
Yeah.
He knew he couldn't win the trainer's title. He knew that Thistlecrack was out of the race at Punchestown, so he's done what's right by the owner and by the horse. But what I think was more embarrassing is the fact it was the big day at Sandown and you only won 28 grand for the race. Whereas you go to Punchestown, I think the prize money's 2 or 3 times as much.
Yeah.
And that's why Willie Mullins doesn't send his horses probably over more, because the prize money in Ireland is that much better for these bigger races than it were at Sandown. Whereas at Sandown this weekend, you should argue, every one of those races should have been the likes of Aintree and Cheltenham, because that is the last flagship meeting of the British jump season. So I think that should be addressed more rather than the fact that William Mullins pulled it out, because if he was your horse, Thistlecrack can't run. It looks a penalty kick, doesn't it?
Mm.
And he knew he couldn't win the title, so...
Yeah.
I think the grand fine was fair enough, but equally you can see why he pulled her out.
Yeah, and the thing with Mullins as well there, he's basically said as much, hasn't he? He said, plan A was to go Punchestown with Vroom Vroom Mag, change my mind because I could have won the trainer's title, can't anymore, go back to plan A.
Well, and plan A is even better now because there's no Thistlecrack.
Yeah, so he's been honest, he could have made something up about the ground changing.
Or he could have said she's got a sniffle coming over or anything like that.
So, yeah. I don't think it's an issue. He got the fine that he deserved. Well, the rules said he should have got, and he's been...
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be crying too much or struggling to pay that yeah. that grand mark yeah. somehow.
No, me neither, to be fair. I'm sure if he was struggling, one of his owners might help him out.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the Monday jury for another week. Let's leave that there and get stuck into Tuesday's action. We'll get Ollie's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, so we're going to look at two races on the domestic front from Nottingham, and we're going to look at two races on day one of the Punchestown Festival over in Ireland. We start in the 3 or 5 at Nottingham, which is a Fillies handicap, a Class 3 event over a mile. We've got a field of 9 here. Ol, who catches Ryan there?
Decent race, this. Best part of 10 grand to the winner, and very competitive. But I thought this came down to, Mark, two changes of stable. I've got two horses here, run for the first time, four new trainers. The first I'm going to concentrate on is Tio's Royale, formerly with Clive Britton, who's obviously handed in his licence. You'd argue could improve for the switch to Simon Crisford, who had an outstanding first season with a training licence last year. Won a Chepstow maiden, wasn't disgraced in two or three starts after. Joined a real shrewd yard. Hooded as well, and the hooded first time, that might make her settle a little bit better, this daughter of Teofilo. And it was highly tried by Clive Britton. We know he used to throw his horses in races where you'd think they've got absolutely no chance, but still, off a mark of 82, could be pretty well handicapped. Shrewd trainer in Simon Crisford, and very eye-catching jockey booking with Sylvester D'Souza on board, and has the added hood. But the other one I'm going to stick with, Mark, is for another new trainer, Loaves and Fishes. This was formerly with Clive Cox. Is out of a Lingfield Oaks trial winner in Miracle Seeker, so well bred by Oasis Dream. Won a Haydock maiden and then was highly tried in listed company and came up a little bit short in the hands of Clive Cox last year, but couldn't have gone to a better stable of David O'Mara, who's had a good start to the new season from his new base. Danny Tudhope rides. Really well bred horse. As I say, out of a an Oaks trial winner by Oasis Dream. I thought this one could do significantly better than its mark of 90. Was held in high regard. They obviously thought it was an Oaks filly as a 3-year-old. Not quite good enough, but first time in handicap company. I thought the top weight here, Loaves and Fishes, was very eye-catching on debut for David O'Mara. So Loaves and Fishes, the selection, the 3.05 at Nottingham.
Loaves and Fishes and the selection for all there. Well-bred, as you mentioned, well-named as well. Our Miracle Seeker, Loaves and Fishes. Anyway, the 4.45 at Nottingham is where we're going next. A Class 4 handicap over a mile and three quarters. We've got a field of 12 here. All we might as well start with Avenue Deschamps down the bottom of the weights there. Arrives here chasing the hat-trick, but this is tougher again.
Yeah, won back-to-back wins on the all-weather in recent weeks. You'd argue there's no reason why he can't carry that improvement back to turf. And he did win twice on turf at Beverley last summer. Danny Brock, good value for his three, takes three off Oatstone 9 for Jane Chappell-Hyam. But, you know, this is 0-80 company, a significantly better class of race than this girl named Champs-Élysées has been contesting in recent weeks. I thought Paddy's Runner was the most interesting horse here for Alan King, who seems to have significantly more horses on the flat than he has done in recent years. This obviously was last seen in action at the Cheltenham Festival in the Fred Winter, the handicap for juveniles there, where arguably it was a little bit disappointing, was pulled up behind Diego de Charmille. Again, probably didn't get the run in the race when 13-8 favourite at Wolverhampton, but was that a prep towards the Fred Winter? Arguably it was. Didn't have the greatest luck in running there either. But you look back to its previous jumps form, beat Impulsive American on its second start. Impulsive American has won three times since for David Pipe. That's really strong form over the jumps. And I put a line through that last start on the flat at Wolverhampton, where it didn't have the greatest of luck in running. He's got an official mark of 133 over jumps, so it's clearly improved. Got a mark of 73 on the flat now. And there might be a little bit more scope for improvement for Paddy's Runner. So you can forgive him that run at Cheltenham. And yes, I think you can forgive him that run at Wolverhampton, which could have been a prep, and also he didn't have the greatest luck in running. So Paddy's runner would be the selection in the next at Nottingham.
Paddy's runner then in the 4:45, moving over to Punchestown for day one of their festival. We're going to look at two races there. Just quickly, just a quick line. I want to get your thoughts on the champion novice hurdle. York Hill's going to be short price favourite, 1-2. Just quickly, can you see past him?
No. He's been, what he did at Cheltenham, he blew them to pieces, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did it very nicely at Aintree as well. He's going to be very, very hard to beat.
Yeah. Which is why we're not going into that race in too much detail there. We're going to concentrate on the 5:30 at Punchestown, which is the champion chase, a grade one contest. Over 2 miles, we've got betting on site for this as well. And Vettori is 1-3 at the top of the market. Second in the market is Special Tiara, 11-2. 10-1 for Godzone and Simon Sig. 33-1 for Fleming Star and Twin Light. 50s or bigger for the other two. Vettori, obviously, has solid credentials. Well, good credentials here, but there is the little question mark that he's never raced even over 2 miles over fences yet.
No, but this horse, he could win a champion chase for me, Mark. He's got that much speed. His jumping is incredible. Barring that blot on his copybook where he actually jumped the fence fine, I think, at Aintree. He does seem to buckle on landing. If you go on official figures, he's miles clear of this. I think the next best is Special Tiara with a mark of 168. He's 176 for tour. Obviously, they all run, race off levels here. He's miles clear. I don't think the drop back to 2 miles should be any problem whatsoever, I say it. Think back to Corto Star. He could have won over 2 miles. Well, he did win it over 2 miles. He could have won over 3 mile two at Cheltenham. I think these class horses, they've got a lot of speed anyway. Vettori certainly got that, and he jumps impeccably well. Just a blot on his copybook. I think it was just unfortunate rather than a mistake by Vettori last time. He's going to take all the beating, but you wouldn't be backing him at 1-3, I don't think, given what happened at Aintree. The two to concentrate on, obviously, are Godzone, previous Punchestown winner. Won the novice chase here 2 seasons ago. He made most of that Vettori fall when winning at Aintree, but you'd argue, you know, he was a very fortunate winner with Vettori falling. Prior to that, he was fourth in the Queen Mother Champion Chase behind Spinsacker Under So, which form has been franked, obviously, at the weekend. And back in third, we had Special Tiara, who we've not seen since. She should have arguably got the Tingle Creek in the stewards' room when knocked by Sire de Grugy. That is strong form. And then at Cheltenham, obviously, we just talked about that form being third behind Sprinter Sakura and Underso. And she beat Godzone by 5 lengths that day. No reason for me why it should overturn the form. It's had a longer rest since Cheltenham than Godzone, who obviously won the Aintree race when Vettori fell. So I think you're back in. Vettori should win, but he's 1-3. I would rather go on the William Hill specials markets, betting without the favourite. I think I'd keep it pretty simple here and just go with Special Tiara to win the race without the favourite.
Special Tiara then to follow Vettori home, really, then, in the 5:30 at Punchestown. And we finish off in the 6:40 at Punchestown, which is the champion novice chase, a grade one over 3 miles and 1 furlong. Again, we've got betting on site, and the market is headed by Outlander, who's 3-1, 7-2 for Henryville, Zabana is 9-2, 5-1 Rule the World, Noble Endeavour is 7-1, 8s for Southfield Royal, and 16s or bigger for the others. So Outlander at the top of their market here, although interestingly, the Grand National winner, Rule the World, is in the lineup.
Yeah, it's not often we see a Grand National winner turned out so quickly. Often we see them running over hurdles for the next season and struggling to get a run in the Grand National. But because he's had so many problems, Rule the World, I think he's fitting well. They're just going to run him because he's had so many training problems, which we all know about now, having been so well documented in the press. I think he's fitting well. David Mullins obviously rides him again. But on the back of a national, we know national winners have got such a poor record of actually winning a race again after winning a national. Obviously, many clouds put that behind him this year. And they're going to campaign him, I think, in a way which national winners haven't been campaigned in the past. And I don't think he can campaign a national winner the way they have done in the past, because we saw previous national winners not get into the race, of course, this year. With Dr. Newland's horse, they campaigned him to get in off a lightweight. It's such a strong race now, you can't do that. So I think you're going to have to, if you run well in the national, you're going to have to keep running them, because you might not get a run. So it's great to see the national winner back in action. You just hope he comes home in one piece, don't you? Because he's had all those documented injury issues. You just hope he comes home in one piece. But with that national, I think it's going to take such a huge amount out of him, Mark. We've only had 2 or 3 weeks since then. I would look away from him. I don't think Outlander's a great favourite here either. Obviously, he fell at the Cheltenham Festival, fell in the JLT Novices Chase, which was won by Black Hercules. I thought he was laboured when he was only second to Calmore Lock. Calmore Lock was well back for Kerry Lee. But I thought it was a pretty laboured performance that day. I think he's definitely a favourite to take on here. And I'm going to go with the Harry Fry horse here, Henryville, to beat him. Had 22 starts, so he's not unexposed, this horse, but he just looks to have improved out of sight since going novice chasing. Obviously, on his debut of offences, he beat one horse, and that unseated rival was Mezzet. Then he was second at Newton Abbott behind Irish Cavalier, real good horse of Rebecca Curtis's. And then I think he stepped up markedly on what he'd ever achieved when beating Golden Doyen, pretty much head in his chest. He was heavily eased down by Norfolia at Exeter. He steps up in grade here, but unlike every other one of these horses, Mark, he's had a light campaign. He's going to get perfect ground. Harry Fry, I think, is an outstanding young trailer. And I thought he was the standout bet here because the favourite certainly has question marks. The third in the betting is Ruler World, who comes on the back of a national win, but surely that's got to take something out of him. So I'm going to get plump for the relatively unexposed Henryville for Noel Feely and Harry Fry.
Henryville, the selection for Ollie there then in that race at Punchestown. As usual, let's just have a quick summary, Ollie, if you'll just spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
3:05 Nottingham, I'm going with Loaves and Fishes, the top weight. The 4:45 at Nottingham, I'm going with Paddy's Runner. The 5:30 at Punchestown, I'm going to go for the forecast, Vitor, to beat Special Tiara. And in the 6:40 at Punchestown, I'm going with Henryville.
Superb. Cheers, Ollie. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Tuesday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Gareth Topham, Kevin O'Malley and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Nottingham, Bath and Brighton on Tuesday afternoon, Lingfield and Wolverhampton in the evening on the domestic front, and day one of the Punchestown Festival as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.